So we come to another new year. Many of us have been through many new years. I still find it a really strange time. Still, we should really know by now. I should really know by now, but I don't know if we're meant to spend more time looking back, reviewing the year that's passed, and thanking God for it, or whether this is a time when we look forward to a new year and with new hopes and new dreams, new ambitions, and what new delights are ahead for us. And I suppose in a normal new year, then that's what we do. We look back and we look forward, and there's a bit of both. And perhaps this new year, though, there's not too much to look back on. And many people have said, good riddance, 2020. And many of us have been through sadness and disappointment. And there's not much in our diaries for 2020. And so we spend our time now looking forward to 2021 and to see what 21 will deliver. If we reflect upon 2020, then it's sadness and disappointment in the main. Some of you have had children. I mean, you will remember 2020 with joy. You will remember those sleepless nights as a blessing. And you'll thank God indeed. And we should all thank God. 2020 is the year that God gave us. And he gave us it for our good in mystery, but he gave us it for good. But in the main, 2020 for most of us just didn't deliver. And yet, a new year is not unique in our lives in the sense that we are looking forward and looking back. That's not unique to new year, is it? I mean, it's a constant of life. I mean, every day, at the end of the day, you look back. Was that a good day? What did I do this day that I'm proud of? What is it that I'm ashamed of? And we look back on a week. Was it a good week or a bad week? Can we look forward? What's planned for the week ahead? And we're always in a state of review. Sometimes that brings us joy, other times sadness and disappointment. In Luke 23 verse 50, we find a man who's looking back and he's looking forward. And in Joseph of Arimathea, who until now has not appeared on the pages of the Word of God, he comes and we find a man who's full of sadness and disappointment. And you this morning may be full of sadness and disappointment, and you may feel that the year 2020 for you did not deliver. But as we meet Joseph, his pressing thoughts, and he can hardly bring himself to think it, but his thought is nonetheless that Jesus, whom Joseph loved, Jesus didn't deliver. And we join him heading off to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body. And Joseph's world has fallen apart. Verse 51 tells us that Joseph was looking for the kingdom of God. But that hope had been based on Jesus being the king of the kingdom. And like many, Joseph had heard Jesus and the apostles preach. Matthew 10 verse 7, the apostles went out, they preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But Joseph had just watched Jesus die, a criminal's death. And Joseph's hopes died with him. Where's the kingdom now? And as we join Joseph at 23:50, he's trying to come to terms with the facts as Joseph sees them. And they're pretty staggering and stark and dark facts. Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead because the vast majority of the folk in Jerusalem despised him. That's a fact. Joseph is faced with that. And he also believes, I'm sure we're meant to understand this, that being dead, Jesus is defeated. And perhaps, and just perhaps, Joseph is wondering, was Jesus really the Messiah, the promised King of God? And yet, with all the facts piling against him, Joseph can see with his own eyes, yet in that situation, Joseph does a lovely thing. And if they all despised him, I loved him. And even if Jesus is dead, even if the kingdom is lost, I still love him. And Joseph says and believes, I won't have the body of my Jesus flung away and dumped in a mass grave as a common criminal. And all the disciples have fled. And this unknown man who was a disciple, he's there, and he's the one who goes to Pilate. Verse 50, now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down. Earlier at verse 33 of this chapter, we read the words, then they crucified him. And we thought at the time what that meant. What is contained in those words, then they crucified him. And the horror has been kept back from us, but you only need to spend a few seconds thinking about it. Those words, then they crucified him, mean that they nailed him to a tree, a cross, and dumped him into a hole, and his body was racked with pain. But then here in verse 53, we have another short phrase. Then he took it down. I mean, how did he do that? What does that phrase entail? We know from the other Gospels that others were helping him too. Nicodemus is there, some women. And perhaps the centurion of verse 47 of Luke 23, the centurion who looked on amazed at the way that Jesus died. Pilate has given permission. Maybe the centurion gets some of his soldiers. I don't have an answer to how he did that. Then he took it down. I'm pretty sure that for anyone else it was brutal and without any love, and they'd be experts. They were experts at crucifying, they were experts at bringing the dead down from the cross as well, but they wouldn't have done it with love. They would have hacked away at the nails. But Joseph of Arimathea and those who helped him tenderly took Jesus' body. They probably had to bang out the nails from the back, covered his nudity, laid him in a clean cloth, And Joseph and others, with great respect and dignity, carried his body and laid it in Joseph's own tomb. And the spot was witnessed by the women and by the others. But I say again, in all of this, Joseph's world was still in turmoil. Jesus, his hope was dead. He was despised by the mob. Jesus was defeated. Joseph, like everyone else, had no thought that Jesus would ever rise again. As he laid him in his own tomb, Joseph had no thought that Jesus would live again. Jesus' body would rest forever where Joseph had laid him. In 24:1, when on the first day of the week, as they go to the tomb, they go to the tomb to give Jesus a good burial. His initial burial was hurried. They don't go to the tomb other than to find the body of Jesus and to anoint him with spices and give him a good burial. That's their intent as they go at 24:1. And as Joseph lays Jesus in the tomb, he has no other thought than that Jesus would lie there forever. And Joseph looked back at the past 3 years. Joseph had been a secret disciple for some of that time. Matthew 27 verse 57 makes it clear he was a disciple. Who knows when he became a disciple? He became a disciple in secret, of course. When the council voted to crucify him, Joseph would appear to have absented himself. The council voted unanimously, but we're told here Joseph did not back them. He had no part in it. But all the promises, all the hope, and it was all finished. All of Joseph's future died. And we're meant to understand, I'm sure, he's in tears. What he does is a lovely thing, but his life is wrecked with sadness and disappointment. In a few verses, Joseph will have a clearer understanding, but right now, the facts as they appear to him are that Jesus is dead, he's despised, and Jesus is defeated. And so Joseph right now is sad and disappointed. And all of that is because Joseph has misunderstood. That's not to set him out uniquely. They've all misunderstood. It's not that Jesus was never playing with them. As will become obvious to them, they will remember his words. But Joseph's great misunderstanding was the cross. And he's not the only person to have misunderstood the cross. As we'll see, there are many around him who have misunderstood the cross. And there are many today who still misunderstand the cross. As we enter into 2021, and as many years as God in his grace gives each one of us, you will remain sad, confused, disappointed. These things will mark your life, unless you have a right understanding of the cross. So misunderstanding the cross was common then, and it's common today. Perhaps you see defeat at the cross. I mean, perhaps that drives your sadness. And Jesus and all his promises, they're all defeated at the cross. That's a great misunderstanding. Others, of course, misunderstood. We have them here as we go into chapter 24. 24 verse 4. The women are perplexed. Where is his body? They came to find his body. They came to anoint his body and to give him a good and proper funeral because they loved him. And they're perplexed. That's the word in 24:4. And then as you go on in 24, you meet Cleopas and his companion, his wife perhaps. The two of them on the road to Emmaus. And they're crushed. And their world's fallen apart. Verse 21, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But no, he's not. And this is the third day. And where is he? And their world's crushed. Dead, despised, defeated, and all our hopes are gone. But friends, that's not how Luke finishes. I mean, if Luke's gospel finished at chapter 23, then it wouldn't be a gospel. This is the good news according to Luke. And there's no good news if Jesus is dead, despised, and defeated. And if it all ends just as Joseph thinks it's finished, then there's no good news. And if the cross was a defeat, then there's no gospel. But as you know, and praise God, Luke does not finish his gospel in chapter 23. And at chapter 24, we find that Jesus is risen. Up from the grave he arose, mighty, triumphant over his foes. And where once was sad, now they are glad. Where once Jesus was dead, he's alive. And everything changes. And the cross is not seen through any misunderstanding, but the cross is seen in clarity. Jesus was dead. But he's alive. Verse 5 of chapter 24. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." And that's no surprise. Remember what he said to you when he was in Galilee. And if you've been with us, we've gone through Luke's gospel. Time and time again, Jesus took his disciples aside and told them, look, this is what's going to happen. We're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hand of wicked men, and they will spit on him, and they will mock him, and they will crucify him. But on the third day, he will rise again. Jesus was dead. He's alive now. He was never defeated. Never defeated. He's victorious. And he tells the two on the way to Emmaus. Verse 25. He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And in that most amazing Bible study, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he showed them everything that related to him. The cross. Don't misunderstand the cross. But let's be clear, there was defeat at the cross. Death was defeated at the cross. The devil was defeated at the cross. Sin and hell were defeated at the cross because Jesus Christ was victorious at the cross. 3 days changed Joseph's life from sadness to gladness. 3 days changed your life and mine and the lives of all who will believe. But if you were there, if I was there, we would have seen the same facts. And Joseph is not some oddball who just didn't get it. None of them got it. And yet, Jesus had spoken clearly. All the prophets had spoken clearly. I'm sure as he opens the prophets to the two on the way to Emmaus, he reminded them and showed them Isaiah 53. He reminded them and showed them Job 19. Job knew. God is God of the living, not of the dead. How could he suffer his Holy One to see decay? One day you and I will have a complete understanding of the events of 2020. They are mysterious to us. They're not the darkest days we've been through in our life, but they are strange days to us. But we need to make sure that we understand that throughout the days of 2020, our Lord Jesus was still on the throne. Our Lord Jesus knows all that we're going through, all that we've gone through. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. And one day we'll understand. When we do, it may well be eternity, but we'll praise him that in 2020 he did all things well. And when we do, we'll find that Jesus was in it all. That the events of 2020, all of them brought glory. All of them furthered his kingdom. And when we head on into 2021, well, will it be a year? Will 2021 be a year of total, unadulterated joy? It won't. Because 2021 will have its ups and downs. 2021 will be another day when we live in a fallen and broken world. But through every day of this year, and every year the Lord gives us, let's never misunderstand the cross. Jesus died those 2 millennia ago. He died that we may live, believing in him. He lives now, that we may be more than conquerors in him. And shall anything separate us from his love? Nothing shall. May all our sadnesses and all our disappointments and all our misunderstandings be turned to gladness. The year's changed, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. All our dreams, all our hopes are solid in him. Nothing was lost at the cross other than the punishment that was due to us for our sins. There was no defeat other than the defeat of death, the devil, sin and hell. Praise God, Jesus Christ died. But he rose again. He died to save us who believe.